What?
Do you want to add in some good audio for the cold opening?
No.
We are back.
Not bad. Not as like scatty freestyle as I thought it was going to be.
We didn't even like count that down or anything.
No, it's
made the eye contact, you know, Kobe and Powell.
Kobe and Powell. is that why you just elbowed me straight in the chest at basketball? Just like the redeem.
I elbowed you straight in the chest?
No, you didn't. But what's up, everybody? Welcome to AirPods and Airballs. Back-to-back weeks. This is huge for us. Season 4 off to a hot start before we go on a mini hiatus. But go for it.
You don't do your catchphrase anymore?
Oh, catchphrase. What am I, superhero?
It's the signature.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to AirPods and Airballs. I didn't do it last episode, did I?
I was thinking about that. I don't think you did.
The podcast where we do half-baked takes on basketball, uninformed opinions on pop culture, and sometimes talk about nothing. Those basketball opinions are becoming more and more uninformed. Joe Crawley here, as always, needs WG on Twitter. Brad is on a 5-game suspension for not disavowing anti-Semitism. That is a joke. Brad is a good student. He's in Mexico City right now, living his best Dia de los Muertos life. We miss you, Brad, as always. Here with me today, my co-host, Dominic Jaranilla. Hey, Dom, tell me your favorite cable TV channel. And don't say ESPN.
I think, yeah, not anything that's not ESPN. I don't even watch really like ESPN anymore, but I think I'd have to go maybe Bravo.
Ooh, I like that answer for you.
I think that's a surprising one, but I think it's just something that that the doc likes to watch. Like there's always going to be something. And as someone who's like always on her phone, like when we're watching something, any of those shows are going to be the ones that will get her like engaged and off of TikTok and all that good stuff.
Bravo's got a pretty solid lineup, right? Like they got, I'm trying to think of a Bravo show.
A ton. I mean,
they got lots of good reruns.
I think we used to watch, like, we really bonded over Vanderpump back in the day. Mm. You ever watch that?
I never watched Vanderpump, but it's
the best.
It sounds like we could do a spin-off pod just like rewatching all the Vanderpump episodes. But I got a surprising one. Cord cutter, as every millennial is out there at this point, right? If I'm staying in a hotel, you know, I got cable TV. The first channel I'm looking for is TLC.
What shows like carry that channel or like really watch TLC?
I mean, 90 Day Fiance is like obviously like a prime reality TV staple. I think it's also a good, like, you know, there's so many couples now. You know, it's not like engaging enough where I'm like, oh, I need to go on Hulu and watch the latest episode or buy Cameo from whoever, right? But I think one, like the story relies roughly the same episode to episode, right? Like, oh, I didn't get married, there's cultural differences, I miss being home, right? But then also there's enough like offshoots, like before the 90 days, after the 90 days, right? Happily ever after that, you know, I'll go on, you know, stay in a hotel room maybe like 7-8 nights a year. I'll turn on TLC, I can get an update, right? You know. I know my Angela and Michael, like that's the white woman from Georgia and like the Nigerian guy, or that like Filipino woman and the white guy, but that's just describing like a bunch of those relationships. But
is that the one with the 600-pound life or whatever that's called?
My 600-pound life. We got Dr. Pimple Popper, Big People Little World. Originally, Johnny K plus 8 were on there. I think Escaping Amish. It's a lot of like, it's good like hotel TV because it's not like, you know, I'm not necessarily in the mood to watch like a action movie with commercials in the middle. I feel like a lot of other stuff I'd watch on just regular cable, it's, you know, it's close enough to streaming. I would rather just be streaming. These are shows I wouldn't seek out myself, but they're a nice escape because usually if I'm in a hotel room, either like looking to ultra relax or, you know, came back from like a busy day of like traveling or vacationing and just want a little escape.
What's the channel with that one, that prank show? Is it Impractical Jokers? I think that that's always like randomly on in the hotel, right?
That's True TV. Yeah. I love myself some Impractical Jokers. I'm not gonna lie. I mean
it's funny, like it's funny when you just have it on, but I definitely wouldn't like watch it on my own.
I watched the movie.
There's a movie.
And I was on a flight to Miami and put the movie on, watched the entire thing. And it was so good. Not so good, but it was entertaining enough where I watched the first half again on the flight back.
Wow. So like, is there a plot to this, or is it kind of like Jackass where it's just a longer like version of this?
It's just a longer version. It's like, there's like a slight plot, but it's basically like they just have more budget and they have celebrities and things like that.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Practical Jokers.
One of them left. There's only three of them now. There's all the drama. They're like the Try Guys.
Really?
There's no drama. Like one of them just retired. So now they're having like sub-ins, like they had Colin Jost and Eric Andre, and know way too much about the Impractical Jokers.
This is good. I do like Eric Andre.
Yeah. I liked him in the new Jackass movies, but
I do have a question for you.
Uh-oh, here we go.
What is your favorite Fast and Furious movie of the 9?
This is going to be a tough conversation.
Don't tell me you haven't seen it.
I've seen the first one. I've seen the second one.
Oh my gosh.
And that's it. I've got a lot of homework this weekend.
You do.
Yeah, I know. I've never seen a Fast and Furious with The Rock in it.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
But you're watching Practical Jokers, the movie.
I've seen War Dogs like 4 times, but I've never seen Practical Jokers Fast and Furious. Yeah,
is there a reason, or like you just feel like you're so far behind in like the story?
They just keep they just keep coming out now, right? Like I last weekend when Denise wasn't around, I tried to like, oh, I need to put one on because obviously your bachelor party has a Fast and Furious night or a Dom Toretto night, but let's be honest, it's a Fast and Furious night. But like I look it up, I was like, okay, I've seen the first two. Like, am I just gonna skip to 6? It's like the most recent one I could find, right?
Yeah, they're spread out over I think Peacock, HBO Max has a couple. But yeah, I mean 1, 2, and then I think you could skip 4. I don't know, that might be a hot take, but 5 is my personal favorite.
I know Fast 5 has a lot of hype around it.
That's the first one with The Rock.
Yeah.
And then
Fast 7 is the one with like where Paul Walker died, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, Fast 5 is like the perfect they towed the line of like crazy like action without getting, you know, so far like absurd, like ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's where Fast and Furious 6 kind of really stepped over the line, like where they became like supernatural beings. But yeah, Fast 5 is good. It's got perfect. It.
No, I mean, like I have like a big movie hole in my pop culture understanding. Like if we ever go to a trivia night, that's where I'm be leaning on you and my teammates. But I want to watch it. I mean, I know the stuff about family, right? I know we're gonna be drinking a bunch of Coronas. I know about not touching the chicken. But
You know enough.
I know enough where I have an outfit. Let me put it like that. So
it's like official, the theme, like set in stone. I didn't just buy a bunch of stuff for nothing. I don't know much about what's happening.
Yeah, let's talk about your bachelor party, right? Like, because let's be honest, like a lot of people, maybe over half of our listening base is probably going to be there this weekend or next weekend. Like, let's talk about your bachelor party. Like, one, what do you know? So I don't want to like spill any beans or details. And Mark, if you're listening, I'm sorry if even this Dom Toretto thing was supposed to be a surprise.
Absolutely no chance Mark is listening to this.
I was going to ask if you wanted to invite him on tonight, but.
Oh, maybe next time we'll do a post-mortem of like ending a batch and all that stuff.
Maybe we do a live pod on next weekend, but.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
I know that we're getting a house. I know that we're playing golf one day or one morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, maybe like going out like Saturday night. I don't really know much of the in-betweens. There's gonna be a lot. It seems like there's, I don't know. I'm just here for a good time.
No, yeah, obviously, because you know, at a bachelor party, you only go out one of the nights. But cool. Okay. I'm excited, honestly. I was telling you this when we were hanging out last weekend, but I feel like a lot of these people on this group chat, I know their names because of their support of the podcast, right? Now it's just gonna be tying it to faces and heights and personalities and things like that. So
say heights or types?
Heights.
You might not be the tallest person.
I'm not taller? That tall. I'm like 6'2". But I'm excited. I think question I do have to ask you is, this is gonna be my first time golfing on a golf course, right? What do I wear? Like, do I have to wear like golf pants and a polo, right? Like, did I just spend $300 on Steph Curry golf equipment for nothing? Or
did you really?
No, I didn't.
I mean, like, I don't think we're going to a like a crazy fancy course, but just, I don't know, anything. Like, don't wear basketball shorts.
Okay.
Probably not basketball shorts.
I need some sort of like athletic pants though.
Yeah.
Or do I need to wear a belt? Let me put it like that.
Like, are you going to tuck in your shirt? I don't think you would have to tuck in your shirt.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't know. The basketball shorts is always a red flag when I see people on the course. It's like, God, like, it's going to be a long day.
Dom, I regret to inform you. I don't know who's going to be in my foursome, but you'll be fine.
You'll be fine. It's just, as long as like you can suck or you can not be good, you just have to do it in a fast paced manner, you know.
Oh, I'm happy to best ball it all the way up the course.
Yeah.
Yeah. But just like I can forfeit my drives. It's fine. Just give me my 9-iron. That's my sweet spot.
That is something I have to think about, is just like, I guess, groupings and things like that. Pairing people with the right, I don't know, personality / skill.
You're making the groupings. That's it. That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
I think, have you golfed with everybody on this trip? I mean, obviously besides the people that don't golf.
Yes. Yes, I have. So I think I have a good idea of where people are at. Which is obviously, like, this is not a skill thing at all. You know, we're just like, we're just gonna get out there and drink whatever and just have fun.
Who do you think at your bachelor party is going to be like the glue guy? Yeah, who's going to be like, you obviously, because you have your high school friends, you have like your LMU college friends group A, your LMU college friends group B, you might have some post-college people there, your brothers, like who's like the, hey y'all, we're all hanging out, we're here for Dom, we're not here for each other.
We are there for each other, but I don't know, it's tough Tough question. I think just because this person's been exposed, or like he's kind of exposed to everyone in the group, I would probably say Ben, just because I've known him since like kindergarten, Ben and Sean, and they kind of know like the high school friends they know, and then Ben obviously knows Mark because they're in frat together, and they know, and he knows my brothers, so I think he'd be like the solid rock in the group.
Is Ben, or Ben's like what, our Tim Duncan? Is he our he's here like our redeem team mellow?
He might be like Pat Beverly, you know?
Ooh, I like that. Like a glue guy with some attitude.
Yeah. Except I don't think he has the same Pat Beverly attitude.
I've never met Ben. Ben, if you happen to listen to this, very excited to meet you next weekend.
Yeah.
Every story I've heard from Dom and Megan about you does not involve you having some sort of attitude. Your wedding looked awesome, though. I will say that.
Our producer just opened the door so she could hear, so she could listen.
another week of not editing, another week of not taking notes. Yeah.
She'd rather listen live than listen or give us our play numbers.
Yeah. You know, those riveting 15 plays we had last episode. But all right, how about this? Who do you think is like the biggest who's the X factor of the trip?
Just X factor / would a wild card be considered like an X factor? So someone that could put a 0 or like 30 on any given night.
Who's our Swaggy P?
I'd say candidates will probably be my brother David.
Mm.
And I think Patrick Sanchez is always a wild card. And I don't know, I'm curious to see how my oldest brother, TJ, or Delphine, as the New Yorkers call him, is gonna hang out, or because he's obviously like the elder statesman of the group. So we'll see how it is.
He's gonna be a little bit of like a Udonis Haslam, playing like a key bench role, but you know, maybe he might be leading the brawl. You never know.
he's gonna be instigating stuff for sure. I like this making the player comps, the batch member comps. But yeah, I just want to make sure that everyone's getting along, and hopefully it's a good mix of dudes.
A testament to, I think, like, well, one, like the people you surround yourself with, but also like Mark for like putting this trip together, is this is like the earliest I've seen a group chat assembled at a bachelor party you've been at. And two, it's like, it's not like the group chat was assembled and it was quiet. Like, I've gotten a text in there every couple of days. So your brother David sent a video this afternoon. So like,
video of what? Can't tell me.
But no, I think it's going to be a great time. I don't think you have to worry about all of us getting together, like getting along or anything like that, you know. You know, this might be like the 2016 Hawks, right? Just is that the one where like five people made the All-Star team?
Yeah.
I think there's gonna be a lot of good team synergy around. So I'm excited. Let me put it like that.
As a bachelor veteran or a former bachelor yourself, how did you prep for yours?
Just like you, only exclusively working on arms for the last 2 weeks. But no, but I think there's not much you can do, right? Like, obviously you're going in blind. That's the best way to go in. It's honestly like an amazing feeling, right? Like, you're surrounded by like some of the people you love most in this world, all there to like be there for you and celebrate you, right? Any tips I have would be let loose, but it's a marathon, not a sprint. So
yes,
yeah. Your wedding, that's a whole different like pep talk, but like But no, it is going to be like a really good time. I'm really excited by the itinerary. I'm going a day early, right, just to hang out with Kenny. Watch out, Arizona, here we come. You know,
let's go, hot boys,
hot boys in the land of the rising sun. But
Japan.
Oh God,
the valley of the sun.
In the valley. That's why I get
Brad would be proud.
That's why I get called Brad anti-Semitic. But speaking of anti-Semitism, no, okay. I was gonna make some
go there.
I was gonna make some Love Is Blind reference, but
do you want to talk Love Is Blind then?
Yeah, let's talk Love Is Blind, because I think, I don't know, our podcast title for this episode is probably something along the lines of Love Is Blind and So Is Darvin Ham, or Love Is Blind, So Is Jordan Poole, Love Is Blind, ooh, So Is Bartice. Ooh. But
I'd say if you asked me like last week, I would have said Darvin Ham for sure, but I'll say it. I mean, he's made adjustments, so he's definitely not blind.
There we go. There we go.
I'm happy. We're happy.
Anyway, let's talk Love Is Blind season 3, right? How much have you seen all the episodes?
I am a little behind. I think I'm like one episode. So I think they just released another batch today, right?
Yeah.
I might have been an episode behind that
before release. The release. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just powered through all of them. So I've seen them. I'm fully caught up. I won't spoil it.
So like, have they gotten married? Like people, the ceremonies have happened and everything?
No. There's another batch coming out next Wednesday. And that's like the conclusion for everybody. I think they have so many couples this season. Yeah. We're basically like the cliffhanger, spoiler alert, is like you see one couple find out like yes or no, and then you see another couple and like saying it.
Is there like a trading of people?
No. Or I guess you gotta watch. But no, one couple basically you find out what happens, like they do their like I do or I do nots, whatever. And then another couple basically, like one person says I do, and then they leave you on the cliffhanger. So there's still like, I don't know, four couples they gotta get through next week or whatever.
Got it. Okay. So like what's in between? Like, so I left off on them meeting families, I guess.
Yeah.
And then just kind of like living together for the next few weeks or
couple yeah weeks. This final drop of episodes, it's like, hey, the final 3 days, so it's, you know, almost like an ultimatum like structure, where it's like they go on some big final last date, like, and they like recap their entire relationship, and then either goes like really positive or like some last minute drama pops up, and then they go do their bachelorette parties, and they all start drinking and they all start talking, and then it's like the very long like 20 minutes per couple prepping for a wedding, and then
yeah,
you finally see like the wedding. Yeah. So I don't know. I will say like the last 3 episodes, I don't think you learn anything new, right? Like I think
it's like you all get the red flags that we're seeing.
It's just like the red flags get redder, right? So
yeah.
I guess like initial thoughts about this season so far, right? Because this is like season 3 of Love Is Blind, right? Like the premise isn't new anymore. This isn't just some one hit wonder show. This is like they're making seasons.
Yeah, they're pumping it out. I'd say that, I mean, they're still like everyone's still very attractive, you know, like I don't think anyone's just going to be like blindsided by anyone. Like love is not really blind in this show, I guess. But I do like the cast. I think better than the last season. And I feel like there's just more issues like right away with these couples than season 2. That's what I'm seeing so far.
I actually hate this cast, to be completely honest. I don't know. I think there was, I was gonna say there's more likable people last season, but I don't know. I don't think I'm trying to think who's likable from last season, and there's not much of an answer. Like I think you have like Kirthi, obviously. But I'm trying to think of anybody else. I don't know. Like, what was the woman that was engaged to the ukulele playing guy?
I think anyway, I mean,
yeah, but she was.
Are you saying you liked her?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. This is also just like trying to recall a season, but I don't know. I think like a realization I've made about like this series now is like because it's blown up so much and it's just like so much on Twitter and the public eye. It's just, I don't think we'll ever get anyone's like authentic self. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like they're all kind of putting on a show. Like, that's how I feel about Bartice. Like, I feel like this isn't like the real Bartice.
Yeah, I think he's like trying to be like so nice, right? But
he's trying to be overly nice. And also I feel when he talks about anything, he talks as if he's receiving feedback and trying to be like overly validating of the feedback. Like, you know, when you tell somebody like, oh, hey, like, you know, like, oh, like you should like in basketball, and he said, oh, hey, like you need to cut, or like, hey, you should, let's space it out. And he goes, oh yeah, I know. Yeah. I got to space it out. That's on me. Right. Like he's almost like accepting the feedback as it comes. And I don't know. I think just the way he talks just doesn't feel very, very real. And he's got,
I think the fuckboyness in him definitely has come out a little bit, like the drinking parts.
A lot of it. Also, they're all just so horny. That's the thing. Yeah. It's they're all just horned up this season. I don't.
Yeah, that's a new thing, right?
Like, yeah,
they're like really kind of getting more explicit in the like the first night, like physical, like you get physical type thing, and I just feel like they're really leaning into just putting. Oh my gosh, like that Asian dude.
Oh, Andrew.
Oh my gosh.
I gotta say, I think he's my favorite guy this season.
talk about horny. That guy was like the most, like he was so articulate, but I don't know. He was interesting.
I honestly, I think there's a little bit of villain for anybody that chooses to be on this show. And I think he's the only one that like fully owned it. Like, I mean, yeah. I don't think the fake crying thing was like something he expected to end up on TV, right?
Oh,
but
not.
Yeah, but I don't know. I everything about him felt kind of ingenuine and almost like knowingly ingenuine. Like, so either he's like a really bad actor or just like this is just who he is as a person. But
I mean, he kind of killed the acting, like. If you took the spots where he wasn't putting the eye drops in his eyes, it was actually not bad. Like someone edited out him doing that. It was pretty good. He looked, I believed him.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely. It was
obviously Nancy was in a lose-lose there. That's for sure.
Nancy is Bartice.
Nancy was Bartice because she was the one choosing between Bartice and Andrew, the Asian guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
she like initially rejected Bartice, right?
I think Bartice originally rejected her.
Got it.
Yeah,
there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
Those last couple of days.
I don't know. I think I will say, like, even though the quality of the participants has gone down, the quality of production has really gone up. Like they know how to like funnel the drama. I mean, like, I think, yeah, there's this stuff you can say about the casting, right? They're only casting hot people still. No one's ever going to be disappointed, right? There's no like, you know, even like Bartice is like, oh, she's just not my type. Not that like she's ugly. Maybe he's like self-aware enough to know like, you know, things you shouldn't say on national TV, but I don't know, again, that whole abortion conversation. But but I mean, I just think that like the way that the production is so alcohol forward, right, is just
they don't care.
Yeah, they just, hey, get them drunk, it's great.
Yeah. I was a little worried for Colleen, that her little Colleen and Matt, I believe, are the couple.
Yeah.
When they had their argument, when I guess Cole said that he was attracted to her, and then she totally like didn't reject him or whatever. And Matt was being very aggressive. I thought it was gonna get scary. It was getting scary for a bit.
Yeah.
He almost went off. He was going off on the producers.
He was. I mean, I don't know. I when you and I have never worked in film, I would have no idea what's in that situation if Matt's looking for me for validation, right? Like,
it's like Texas, like heavy Texas twang.
just feel the racism coming out of the season. But yeah. I think the most, my beef with Colleen is, you know, she was very much like, oh, you know, I'm a ballerina, right? And, you know, guys, they date me and then they just get bored of me after the ballerino like wear like kind of goes away. But in like the whole pod stage, all she talks about is being a ballerina. She talks about ballet, like ballerina being like her schedule, and then refuses to talk about anything else or go deep into other conversations. It was just kind of like, yeah, sure, right? You gotta give more of yourself than just being a ballerina, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, she got rejected what, twice? First by the tall guy that kind of comes from nothing.
Yeah, the shakshuka guy.
Yeah. So he like fully committed to that one girl.
Yeah.
And is like, I didn't know she was rich. Apparently she's like super rich.
And then she got rejected by like Cole, who I hate that he's the one name we know, but
he came in hot, like Cole came in hot, like super obnoxious at the start, and then he kind of like chilled out for a little bit, and then he's kind of like back on being like on his BS.
Cole is like very, Cole's a shitty person. Like, let's just call it what it is, right? But like, he's so confusing to me because I feel like him and Colleen were good matches because they both have that like bubbly, like banter type back and forth type like personality. But like, has Cole really gone deep? I mean, he talks about his divorce, but like, I don't know. I think him and Zeynep is just like a whole other, just like trash, toxic, like gaslighting.
It's not gonna work. Yeah.
No, I don't know. I just think there's like so much pressure in this show to like say yes, right?
Yeah.
Like, cause there's like real money to be made if you make it out of the show, right? Yeah. Like, and I think, you know, like season one obviously had two couples made it out, right? It was Amber and Barnett and the other Cameron and the
I'm not the most familiar with season one.
Oh, I forgot you haven't seen it. But season one's like goated. Like season one is like the Fast Five of Love is Blind. Yeah. It's like it's perfect because like it's just the people like don't know what the show's gonna be. Like there's the drama, there's like legit drama and not like, oh, like production playing up a little bit, like, you know, some of that, like, you know, like season two, there's a lot of that, like Shane and Shayna, and like, they always just happen to be hanging out, and there's a little bit of jealousy. A lot of it's just like a lot of this, the reason this thing is like still a thing is just because like production is making y'all talk about it over and over again. But season one has a lot of that like organically. But no, in season two, right, like two couples got together, but they both got divorced. I don't know, like if I set the over under, so we have what, five couples? We have Bartice and Nancy, we have Zeynep and Cole, we have Colleen and Matt, is that his name?
Yeah, Matt.
We have Amanda and the other guy.
the Aladdin guy, poor dude.
Yeah.
I mean, she's kind of princessy.
Most boring couple out there, I would say. Those two.
I mean, but she threw out the only thing she threw out that I've seen is the whole prenup thing. And then he's just like, yeah.
Yeah. They go more into that, these like upcoming episodes, you'll see. But like, but nothing. Yeah, I don't know. I just think that like those two,
I think there's always a boring couple, right? Like they're the that one, the season two couple.
Nick and Danielle. Yeah. But no, I think if any of our friends, I like to play the game with Denise of talking about who of our friends do you think would be on Love is Blind, or, you know, which one of our friends would be really good on Love is Blind. I think like Amanda is probably like the closest person to somebody we know who could end up on a show like this. And then
you're like thinking of someone like specific that you're not gonna say.
No, not anyone who I think is Amanda. I have people I think in my life who would be either great on Love is Blind or I could see on Love is Blind. I think my friend Brian, Brian B. Craig Martin, would be awesome on Love is Blind. You know, he's talkative, he's high energy, he's a firefighter, which is like a fun thing to fantasize about through a wall in a pod. Mm-hmm.
He's marketable.
Yeah, but anyway, I think we were counting the couples. We got them, and then we got like SK and Raven.
Oh gosh,
is that it? Is that five? That's five.
I think that's it.
Well, okay. If I set the over under 2.5, how many do you think actually get married? Would you go over or under 2.5?
You go under.
Who's the 2 or 1 then?
That do get married?
Yeah.
I mean, Aladdin and Jasmine, Amanda and whatever his name is.
Yeah.
That and I don't know. I don't really see. I think maybe like Matt and Colleen from where I'm at. They seem like they would.
Yeah.
But there'll definitely be problems, but they'll get to the wedding.
Yeah, that's another thing about this season. The timeline is so much shorter. It's like, what, 3 weeks from leaving the honeymoon to planning a wedding and getting married? Well, they don't really plan a wedding, but still like the getting married part. Like none of them are ready, but no, I agree about Amanda and Gordon Hayward. I also think Colleen. I think Colleen is so set on just being married and being a bride and being a wife. And I don't know. I think. See, Colin Zenob is just like that could go either way. I think Zenob is so sweet and deserves so much better than him, but I think there's just a lot of like trying to make it work happening on both their sides that just
I mean, they talked about it, right? Like when they all met each other for the first time, like the whole group, they were talking about like how the person is so different outside of the pods. Mm-hmm. Like they really connected in there, but you know, just once they're out, it's like really different.
The way Bartice like aggressively talked about Raven though, that's a wild thing, like, to unload
to Nancy.
Yeah.
Or yeah. He's like, me and Raven, we get talked to at the club, blah blah blah, like,
yeah. Dom, at your bachelor party next weekend, I'm gonna be asking, so do you think this person's a smoke show? Yeah. And Bartice, what a problematic guy.
I was hyped for Bartice because he was a CPA or he's an accountant. He's giving us a bad name.
Bartice is like so marketable though. I get why he's on the show, right? Because he's like, he muscles, like racially ambiguous, like good personality. But
you talking about yourself.
but good person. I mean, Megan's mom did call me handsome, but good person Bartice is not. I don't know. He's just like really shitty to Nancy. Yeah. So
man, yeah, he was getting the family, Nancy's like brothers and the mom who like being pretty tough on him though.
Yeah. And it was like I think something about the guys this season, it's like, well, like half the guys are fine, like, you know, Aladdin is boring, right? But like he's like, yeah, I'll convert to Judaism for you, right?
He's not doing anything.
Yeah. Like these guys are like taking feedback and just coming at it confrontationally, right? Like Cole is just like the definition of like, hey, I'm not wrong, you're ridiculous, right? Bartice is like, you know, like, would you love Nancy if she's at 400 pounds? He goes, well, I'm not gonna let her get to 400 pounds.
Hopefully we'd have a conversation and blah, blah, blah. We wouldn't get to that point.
Jeez. The answer is yes, right? Yeah, but anyway. Yes.
Kyrie, the answer is no, you are not anti-Semitic. Say no.
Free Steve Nash.
Oh, man. Is he going to go back to
Golden State? I don't know. The Golden State needs something right now, I'll tell you that. But one last thing before we move on to our new segment is there's been a lot of making one thing that you do your personality this season, right? And I think, you know, Colleen and the ballerina thing, I think like Cole and being an asshole, right? Like but I think the biggest offender here is Raven and working out.
Is this a haters corner?
I don't know. This she's had the weirdest arc on the show. I mean, I went from like liking her to hating her to kind of liking her, right? I think if I had to pick my favorite couple, it'd be SK and Raven. But but I just think like the when Bartice was opening up about the whole like finding out her mom his mom had another person in her life thing, she just starts doing jumping jacks. And then she's doing like tricep extensions and hip thrusts like during all these conversations.
During SK opening up.
Yeah.
So he didn't care as much.
No.
Well, you can't really hear the triceps on like the jumping jacks.
Yeah, the jump just straight up and down. And then even on like the first day of the honeymoon, like doing Pilates. I don't know. It's just like she's definitely like very. I mean, she's ambitious, like, right. Like, you know, definitely really appreciate that about her. But it's just like, tone it with the working out, right. I don't know. It just, for the first like four episodes, I feel like there wasn't a clip where her like heart rate wasn't above 85 BPM.
I mean, maybe they're in there for like really long time in those pods and she just trying to get some sort of cardio in. I don't know, but yeah, I mean, like any normal person wouldn't just be jumping jacks when you're finding out like
how would you feel if I was just doing like push-ups in the middle of this podcast? if I just hit like a quick set of 20 like as you're doing your like spiel about why you love Bravo and Vanderpump Rules so much.
Yeah.
Anyway, should we talk about basketball?
Yeah, new segment.
NBA Dom, corner. You want to intro it?
Yeah. Since this podcast is clearly not basketball centric anymore, we just talk about whatever and whatever is on like whenever is on our minds. We're just gonna do a quick segment called NBA Corner. We're just gonna get random NBA stuff off our chest.
Yeah. And we've gotten some strong feedback from our producer about the value our basketball talk adds to this podcast. I would have strong feedback for our producer for actually producing. But anyway, to make sure, like, you know, we get to get our NBA takes off and we make this podcast still listen, like something people will want to listen to. I'm giving Dom, we're going to take, I don't know if it takes turns or not, but like, we're giving Dom one interrupted minute. I got my timer going. He can unload whatever he wants to unload on. So Dom, I got the timer up. Tell me when you're ready.
Okay. I'm ready.
All right. 3, 2, 1, start.
All right. This is the first week, I would say, since the play-in of 2021, where I think the Lakers may have had a better week than the Warriors. I think the Warriors haven't won in like a week plus. So we're actually trending up. You know, we won 2 in a row. Warriors lost 4 against all non-playoff teams except for the Heat. And I think last time we checked in, the Lakers were almost broken. I almost gave up on the season. And, you know, as I said earlier, Darvin Ham is not blind. He's making adjustments to the rotation. Russ is coming off the bench, and he's looking like possible sixth man of the year. Anthony Davis is playing great, but every freaking play, every time he does something, he's like clutching at his back. So that's a little problematic. But yeah, we're trending up, and I don't know what else to say. How much time do I have left?
You hear that?
Was that it?
That was the timer. Perfectly timed. Longest minute of my life. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
We make this corner for you, right? This is a very like Dom driven segment of like, I want to talk NBA, right? This podcast is my passion project. I don't care if people don't get best first 5 minutes. I'm going to talk about basketball and just straight with the Warriors slander, just straight into it, right? Just the Lakers are having better season. That's the topic sentence of this paragraph you called.
I said for the first time, we've had a better week. It's been a long time, but nothing to say about losing 4 in a row.
I'm abstaining. I watched the rest of Love is Blind instead of the Warriors game today. And at basketball Tuesday night, there were calls to trade James Wiseman, which is like the biggest overreaction. the dude with the goggles and the knee brace and like the 5-6 post moves was basically giving me his NBA GM advice.
Can I read off a text he sent in the group chat for basketball?
Yes, read it off.
I like his vibes. He said Wiseman and Kuminga are not good. I'm so done watching this team. Like, can we soon to the end of the season?
For context, everybody listen, this guy's like, he's got to be in his 40s, late 40s.
I would say 50 at least.
Yeah. He plays with like goggles and a knee brace. One of the most efficient post scorers, like in this open gym. The fact that he knows the term about simming to the season, maybe he has kids, but
yeah. He's gotten so much better though, like compared to what he's doing now. Before the pandemic, he was like, don't throw in the ball type of situation.
Oh wow.
Yeah. So he's like, kudos to him. He's really putting the work.
He called my jump shot pure on Tuesday. So, you know, I can't hate him for that.
Yeah, but I mean, it was pretty pure. You nailed two in my face.
Yeah. And I pointed after one of them.
Yes.
Well, anything you want to talk about before we wrap it up?
I think we're good. I think this was a fun one. I liked hearing about Impractical Jokers.
Yeah. And then and we talked about Top Fast Furious. I think for anybody that made it this far, especially on the bachelor party, make sure you find me. I've got AirPods and AirBalls magnets for everybody. So, or I hope I have enough for everybody, but I have AirPods and AirPods magnets, let me put it like that. So nice. Sweet. Brad, we miss you. There's no way you made it this far on the podcast, but no, he I don't think he's listened to an episode, but we miss you, Brad. Come back. Si se puede. Yes.
Yeah. Probably not gonna record next week for the bachelor stuff. And then next week is another wedding.
And maybe we do. Maybe do a live one in the hotel room.
Yeah. TBD. Anyway,
TBD.
That'll be the cliffhanger.
Yeah. Well, if we don't record in the next 2 weeks, excited for your bachelor party, Vito. If you're listening, excited for your wedding. I know you and Jennifer have been working hard, and excited to see what you put together. And we will do our best not to do our best. Kevin and Tim impressions. Was that the names we gave? We gave those two people. Anyway, but yeah. All right. Well, till next time.
Peace.